keep selling a lot of stuff, you know. Turn in your Bibles with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to remind you tonight at 5 is choir practice, and that do your best to be on time. We get an opportunity to practice a couple of songs that we're not doing that particular day if we do. And in November, I believe it's the 10th, we have the Bells scheduled to play. And looking forward for the kids playing the Bells. We always enjoy them. Well, they get up here and shake those Bells, you know. And I love to watch them play. 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 11. Paul writes to Corinth, and he lists in chapter 10 how Moses and the children of Israel went through the Red Sea, and they went over into the wilderness. And because of their unbelief, God made them wander around the wilderness for 40 years before they ever got to go into Canaan land. And in the wilderness during those 40 years, a lot of them failed God. They worshiped idols. They murmured and complained about God's leadership, those that God put in charge of them and how they were being led. And when they suffered hunger or thirst, instead of praying and seeking God, they murmured and complained and blamed their leader. Some of them wanted to go back to Egypt. They forgot how bad it was back there. You say, well, that's tough. It is. But, you know, Christians sometimes go through some of the same things. I've had many people tell me, you know, I had it better off when I was an unsaved person. I made more money. I had more than that, more than that. Yeah, and you were on your way to hell for all eternity until God saved you and forgave you of your sins. God helps not to be murmurers and complainers, but thankful for what God has done for us. And so Israel had all these sins and problems, fornication and all of that. He says now in verse number 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. And they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We're in a journey with God, and we must not get involved in pride to think we got it all under control and we got, you know, we know what to do and all that sort of thing. No, take a look at what Israel did, how they failed and how they went astray and the wrongs that they did. And these are warnings to us not to do the same thing. They're examples to us of what not to do. And so we seek God's help and walk with God day by day. It's only by the grace of God that we live for Him and serve Him and do the right things. And let's give Him praise and glory for that. Let's pray. Father, as we look into Your Word, I ask that You'll help me to speak in such a way that's a help and a blessing to Your people. And if there's anyone who has not yet received Christ as Savior, that they might see the imminent danger that they are in without Christ. And come and be saved even today, we pray. Bless Your Word because You promised to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we saw Paul wrote to Corinth using Israel's history as an example and an admonition. He revealed how both Israel and the mixed multitude of those that followed them out of Egypt into Canaan land were all miraculously provided for. They were all guarded in safety by God. They all were given food miraculously and water miraculously from the rock. And that rock was the representation of Christ. Matter of fact, the Bible says that rock followed them was Christ. And in the wilderness, many of them failed. Many of them are buried in the wilderness, didn't make it to Canaan land because of unbelief and disobedience. They tempted God. They committed idolatry, lust after evil things, fornication, and God was displeased with their murmuring and complaining. Look at verse 10. He said, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. You remember God sent fiery serpents in among them until Moses had to make a serpent of brass and lift it up. And when the people looked to that, they were saved, they were healed from the bites. And that was a type of Christ being lifted up on the cross that all men might receive forgiveness of sins in Him. Now these are our examples also. We recognize the danger of pride and the danger of our fleshly nature. We all still have a sin nature because we're human beings. We're descendants of Adam. Romans 5:12, the apostle wrote, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And you know that one man was Adam, and because he sinned, all of his descendants have that sin nature that he had because of sin. And Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins, and by believing on him, we receive a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we receive a new nature. We receive the grace of God. But we still have the human body, and so we still have the old Adamic nature that we struggle with. A part of us wants to do what's right, and a part of us wants to do what it wants to do. And we struggle with that all the time in the spiritual life. Now, Moses is a type of Christ in this passage of Scripture because God wanted to destroy all of Israel because of their sin and take Moses and make a whole new nation out of him, like he'd made this nation out of the descendants of Abraham. But Moses interceded for them. He pled with God to spare them. And God did according to the word of Moses. Christ makes intercession for us. He's able to save to the uttermost all who believe on him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So Christ is on the throne beside the Father, and he's making intercession on our behalf. And so we have the security of our salvation because of what Christ has done and because of what he continues to do today in making intercession for us. Moses interceded for the people. Look back in your Bibles at the book of Numbers. In chapter 14, we see the account that is being referred to here. We know Christ willingly gave himself for us, and now he makes intercession. Moses was willing to die with his people if God would not spare them. And Jesus did die so that you and I might be spared. The book of Hebrews exalts Jesus that he's greater than angels and greater than Moses. He said Moses was a faithful servant, but Christ is the faithful Son of God. And he is above, greater, superior to angels, superior to all men, and Moses included, who was well respected by the nation of Israel. And back in Numbers 14. Back in chapter 13, the spies had come back from viewing the land of Canaan. They brought an evil report, and it caused the people to weep and fear about going into battle across the river into Canaan. Only Joshua and Caleb gave the report that if God wants us to have this land, then God will give us this land. We should obey God. But the other 10 spies talked about how big the enemy was and how fortified their places were, and they were afraid, and they caused the people to fear and tremble. And God became angry with that. Look at verse 12 of chapter 14. God said to Moses, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and a mightier. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou brought up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among his people, this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even unto now, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Moses intercedes. He rehearses with God his great power. He wants God to reveal his great power, not in judgment and wrath in destroying the nation, but in long suffering. And God is long suffering with his people always. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 tells us about God's long suffering for us. The day of the Lord is going to come upon this earth one day and destroy the earth and the wicked on the world. And then Christ is going to set up his kingdom forever. But in verse 9 of 2 Peter 3, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has been long-suffering with you, and God has been long-suffering with me, and God has been more long-suffering with some people who just don't seem to get it and who just keep living their life according to their own desires, and they keep running into that brick wall with all the trouble that comes because they reap as they sow. But God has been long-suffering. God is great in mercy. In grace, God gives us what we do not deserve, and that's salvation. We're undeserving, but God gives us the gift of salvation. We don't earn it. He gives it to us. And we must receive it from him as a gift. We don't have the power to earn his grace. We'll never be worthy to earn his grace. But we can receive it if we receive it as a gift from God. And in mercy, God withholds what we do deserve. And that's punishment and judgment because of the sins that we have committed. He asked God to forgive the iniquity and the transgressions as he has done over and over with Israel in this 40 years as they went around the wilderness. God continued anytime the people would repent and seek his forgiveness, that God would forgive them and restore them and would bless them. He said God must be just, and there is a price that's paid visiting the iniquity of the children upon the father upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. They were going to lose the blessings that God promised to their fathers because of their disobedience. You see, our actions do have consequences. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow good, we reap good. If we sow evil, we reap evil. And those are natural laws that God has put into progress that don't change because we become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God was willing to pardon his people according to the word of Moses. And God forgives us of our sins according to the work that Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross and according to his own word, where he has made provision for us to be saved and forgiven of our sins. Back in chapter 14 and verse number 20, he said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but that they are going to lose the blessing that he promised to their fathers of the land, to go into the land, to take the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of blessing to them, delivered from Egypt. And the Bible gives us in 1 Corinthians 10 all the examples of what we're not to do that Israel did do when they were in the wilderness. God's dealings with Israel was an admonition and an example to us not to fail in the same way that they failed. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, he said, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now down in verse number 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, thirdly, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the thing which is the Gentiles' sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. So he uses the cup of communion of the blood of Christ and his body that was on the cross for us, buried to take our sins away and resurrected to a new body. He uses that as an example for us. The bread symbolizes body and the cup symbolizes his blood. And Jesus taught the symbol of this back in John chapter 6. Turn there with me if you would. John chapter 6. Jesus gives them an example of the comparison between manna in the wilderness and communion that is used with believers and the church today. And he shows the emphasis here. John chapter 6 and verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Look at verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then look at verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They failed to understand what Jesus was teaching them. Verse 53, Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now we know the connection to communion in verse 53 and in 1 Corinthians 11, 23. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23, he speaks about observing what we call the Lord's Supper. He said in chapter 11, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians, For I received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So the Passover is the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why this table down here says in remembrance. And we're remembering the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking for him to come again. And when we observe the Lord's Supper, is a time for us to pause and confess our sins and to seek his cleansing and forgiveness and draw close to God. As we draw close to God, in the Old Testament, quite often when they came in the presence of God, they'd take their shoes off their feet and they'd bow down on the ground and they would worship God. And when we observe the Lord's Supper, we are worshiping the Lord, thankful for his death and his shed blood on our behalf. Now back in chapter 10 and verse 14, following what he said about this, he said, Flee idolatry. He said, because you can't take the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils at the same time. Now, too many people today in this life we live got a little bit of religion, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord. And in that religion, they try to walk both sides of the street at the same time. And that's an impossible thing to do. You can't live for God part of the time and live for the devil the other part of the time. It doesn't work. And the reason is because if you know the Lord is your Savior, you're not going to want to live for the devil the other part of the time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the scripture talks about how we're to separate from sinful things and why. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So God wants his people to separate from sinfulness and unrighteousness. There's no communion between light and darkness. We walk with the Lord in the light. We're not to walk in the darkness of sin and evil. We're to separate ourselves from sinful behavior. Israel left Egypt following Moses, who followed God. But along the way, many of them turned aside to idols. They turned aside to sexual sins with the Moabites. They tempted God. They murmured and complained. They told God, God, we don't like this food. We don't like this water. We don't like the hardship of the journey. We're supposed to enjoy the journey we're on with God. That doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult at times. Life is difficult whether you know the Lord or not. There's plenty of hardship. But if you know the Lord, you have his grace and his mercy and his blessings and his provision and his protection and his help. Praise God, no matter how hard it gets, if you know the Lord is your Savior, you'll realize all you really need is the Lord as your Savior. Now, Satan tempted Jesus. Matthew 4 and Luke 4 both record this incident where Christ was tempted of Satan. He took Jesus up on the top of the temple and said, cast yourself down, because the Bible says God gives his angels charge that you won't even dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Israel tempted God because Satan was at work in the wilderness. They turned away from following God to murmur and complain. And the Bible teaches us that we need to learn in the Christian life to be content with the things that God has given us. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, he learned whatsoever state he's in, therewith to be content. That man was content in the Lord even in prison after he'd been beaten and thrown locked up in chains. He just sang praise to God, and God sent an earthquake and break the jail down. He'd seen God do so many mighty and wonderful things. He knew wherever he was that God was going to take care of him. And God would use him if he spoke up for God as a witness for Christ. And we need to learn to be content if we're in the will of God. Now, the place to be discontent is if we get out of the will of God, if we get into sin, if we get out of fellowship with the Lord because of our attitude or our lack of praise or our indifference or sin itself, then we need to come back and be discontent with our life and confess it to God. And if we confess it to him, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We come to the Lord in his will, and he can enable us to do whatever he would have us to do. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 says, not that I speak in respect to want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13 of Philippians 4, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If it seems God has given you a task that is difficult to bear, maybe it's in the husband and wife relationship. You took a vow to God to be married to each other, and the husband's to give himself for his wife, and the wife's to love her husband. And if there's trouble and problems there, you can become dissatisfied and discontent. Listen, if you married and took a vow to the Lord, you better get over being discontent and find a way to get along with one another, and God will give you grace. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. You can forgive. You can put it aside. You can start again. You can renew your love relationship. When God, through His Word and by His Spirit, asks us to do something, He can provide us the strength, enable us to do whatever He calls us to do. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. In Philippians 4 and verse 4, the apostle wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say rejoice. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." It means don't worry about things. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Be thankful. Rejoice in the Lord for every good gift that God has given. Don't worry and fret over the difficulties of life. God's still on the throne. Be thankful and make your requests known to Him, because He's the one that has the power to change the world if He has to bless His people, to protect His people, and to provide your need. He gave His Son to die for you on Calvary's cross, and He ever lives making intercession for you. So enjoy the journey with God, and don't turn aside as Israel did. That's our example and warning of what not to do because of God's goodness. Let's stand together.